Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Where's Huddle with me, Bram. No Marcus today, but with me, per usual, my master of all things video and sound, Maxime.
How's it going?
Maxime, special episode today. I am fired up to announce that rejoining us after far too long, a true radio professional with time in college basketball, college football, college baseball, the Canadian Football League, and the NFL. A luminary voice within the NBA with more than 34 years of broadcasting experience in the association. A 2013 inductee of the Utica College Pioneer Athletic Hall of Fame. The immediately recognizable voice of the Golden State Warriors since 1995. And the best damn play-by-play announcer I've ever had the pleasure of listening to. Mr. Tim Roy, what's going on, Tim?
Hey, thank you, Bram. Thank you, Maxime. It's good to be with you guys again. It's, you know, the Dubs are on the road here, just trying to crank out some wins, but the road trip gets a lot tougher, you know, starting with Dallas and then the Lakers. But the you know, it's this race to the finish. You gotta see what you can do, and you know, I don't know if the Warriors will get to six, but I think they've got, you know, certainly they're in the play-in brackets. It's where they're going to end up is the big key, and it's great to be with you. You guys do a nice job.
We need your steady leadership. So I texted you this, but this season has been like an exercise in split personality for me. I have no idea what to do. I mean, even just these last like five or six games, I was on top of the world after they beat the Bucks, and then had no idea what to do with myself after they get their butt kicked by the Spurs the first time. And people I've never heard, Tim, I have never heard of Julian Champagne in my life, and he destroyed us. So it's been an interesting season. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it has been an interesting season, but it's been, you know, the Warriors have lacked consistency all year, and you know, they start off 6-2, bang, they go down into the nether regions, if you will. You know, the record against the top six teams in the league. It's like 7-11 with Draymond and drastically worse without him. But again, they just have not been a really consistent squad all year long. And part of that is, and some people don't want to hear this, but part of it is because they're playing young players. Yep. And young players are inconsistent. Young players make, you know, young player mistakes. And that's why a lot of coaches don't like playing young players, because they sometimes, you know, forget about who they're rotating to and rotate, you know, to the wrong guy and challenge a guy that shouldn't be challenged outside and leaving another guy who's wide open who can hit that shot. So all those little things go into it, but they've just been inconsistent. The maddening thing about this year, though, is that they will put together weeks and games, you know, 13-4 when Draymond came back from the suspension, you know, handling the Milwaukee Bucks easily on the home floor, you know, with a win there. They have these games where you look at them and go, wow, this is it. This is what this team is. But then they take a step back and struggle somewhat. And so, you know, I think they're in a situation where when they're healthy and can put things together, they're a dangerous team. But I don't know if that's going to be enough in what is a very dangerous Western Conference. I do know this. I think if the Warriors are healthy going into the playoffs, and if they can somehow get out of the play-in bracket, right? So, I mean, getting to sixth would require a number of two or three teams going on losing streaks at this point. But if they can get to seven or eight, get into the playoffs, if I'm a team up top of the West, you know, even Denver, I don't know if I want to meet the Warriors in a seven game series. I really don't, because there's experience and firepower there that they would be wary of.
I keep telling myself that too, right? I mean, what I envision is if they somehow get into the playoffs and now whoever it is they match up, that fan base, you know, like let's say it's Minnesota or OKC, whoever it is, that fan base, if they see that they're playing the Warriors, nobody's doing a fist pump. You know, like no one's excited to see us there. And the other way I've put it, this is not a bet my life team. Here's what I mean. Like if they make it to that series, whoever they play, I would not bet my life that the Warriors win it, but I wouldn't bet my life that they lose it either. You know, I don't know what they're going to do, which leads to kind of this overarching question, Matt, because I've got a segment that's just hand-tailored for you that I can't wait to get to. But this question is the one that's aiming specifically at this season. What counts as a successful season this year? You know, because you've seen, you know, we used to define success completely differently. It wasn't title or bust for, you know, 25 years. It was like we could develop this guy or if they could just make the playoffs or take that next step. So this season, after everything that's gone down, after dipping into the nether regions, you know, and then still showing competency, what will amount to a successful season in your mind?
That's a really good question, because you're right. We are, you know, we went from 20 years of, oh, can we just make the playoffs, right? Remember that?
And yes, now, of course.
And now we have a whole generation of Warrior fans who expect them to go to the finals every year, right? You know, so I don't know what a successful season would be. I mean, you know, you don't want to get balanced right away. You don't want to get moved out in a playing game. You don't want to lose that game. So, you know, getting the playoffs is an accomplishment. I don't care who you are and what team you are. It's an accomplishment. Now, granted, the NBA puts a lot of teams into the playoffs, especially when you count the play-in, but in the West, I think it's an accomplishment by far. I think a deep run would be a successful season, but I don't think if they lost, say, in the first round to a very good team, would that be, you know, a disappointment? I don't know, because it's hard to, again, it goes back to what we were talking about a moment ago. It's hard to read just where this team is, just how good they are, because they have these moments of brilliance, and then they have, you know, games where they just aren't there. And you know, and let's face it, the last couple of nights, it's been because Steph Curry's not on the floor.
Right.
You know, he makes everything go.
I love, so credit to your professionalism. You started this by saying, look, there were 20 years when we considered them making the playoffs would be a success. Tim, there was at least a 10-year stretch there where all I was hoping for as a fan that they would score 100 points, so I got a free chalupa. You know, they weren't making the playoffs. Like, nothing was happening, you know? So, yeah, our conception here has completely flipped over. Maxime, how do you answer that? If what amounts to a successful season for you? Because I think I agree. If they go seven games and lose in the first, and then even more than that, if that happens and JK really establishes himself as the number two, you know, like he gets his role and we know who he is, and Klay Thompson and the team become comfortable with what his role is, whatever it is, you know, that they ultimately find that, I'd find that successful, even if they lost in the first, you know? So I guess that's what I'm hoping for, some solidification of those guys. For you, Maxime, what are you hoping for here? What would be a success?
Yeah, I generally agree with you. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I'm still interested in seeing how we can get Steph Curry another title. As fantastic as Jonathan Kuminga is, I'm going to take the person that I know is capable of winning a championship for us over a rebuild to surround pieces around Jonathan Kuminga. So the question for me is not so much what is successful this season, but how does this season set us up for success in the offseason and going into next season? Because let's face it, the squad as it's currently constructed, where we are in the standings, is not going to very unlikely to lead to a finals run. So what happens in the offseason and what sort of moves are happening in the playoffs that, you know, open things up, that change things around? So that's where I'm at. I'm not particularly concerned about where we end up in the playoffs.
What's been frustrating here, Tim, and then we'll move on to this next section. But it's almost like the Godfather. Like every time I think I'm out, they drag me back in. Like I will, yes. I'll guard myself emotionally with this team. You know, they start dipping and they're not a title team. Fine. I'll just go back to, you know, the late 2000s and how I used to watch them there. And then they go on this damn run where they look as elite as any other team, you know, and they're suddenly this sexy title pick again and they drag me back in. And then the second they do that, they lose to a Spurs team without Wembanyama, who's trying to lose. Like it's been frustrating, I guess. That's the best word I can come up with.
Yeah, and I think part of it is they need to really go back and as they did during the run, they kind of lost it a little bit of their defensive identity during this last few days, and you know, cut people off at point of attack and not allow that penetration, which they did against San Antonio. And I think that's a big key. And also the other part is, you know, everything ties together. When they work for good shots and move the ball, their defense gets better. Why? Because the ball goes through the basket, they can go back and set their defense. When you're playing in transition, it's hard to set in this league. And, you know, the other part that's also crazy about this team that this year, which is really, it's been a tough thing to look at and again, to determine just who they are. You know, how many games early in the season did they lose to a good team, but lose by a point or by a possession or lose in overtime? They lost a whole bunch of games like that early on. And I think that's, you know, even if you just go back and just, you know, say you lost six or seven of those games, I'm sure they did, like that. Even if you just go 3-4 in those games, how different is this season right now? Or if you go 4-3, how different is this season? So they've shown the ability to be close with good teams. And I think that's the tempting part of this team is to watch it. And especially now they've gone with Draymond at the five. That has really, you know, opened things up. They're playing Jackson Davis more. Again, he's a rookie. He's going to make some rookie mistakes even this deep in the season. But he gives them that ability that they had with Bogut and with, to a certain extent, Ezeli, and they had with JaVale McGee and people like that, where you can have vertical spacing. You have somebody in the dunker spot. And when Curry and Thompson use their gravity, all of a sudden that guy's wide open, you know. And so he's getting a lot of good looks right around the basket. And I just think, you know, they've got pieces to make them really intriguing. I'm just hoping they can get healthy and get ready, you know, for the postseason. I think if they can head into the postseason with some good news, and I think that's going to be going to be, I think, something to hang your hat on. I don't know if you guys see the, when we're taping this on a day where they gave the update on Stephen Curry. Did you want to get to that or do you want to?
Yeah, what's the update? Because I didn't see that. I know that they were going to give us something.
Yeah, I'm reading this from Warrior PR. It says that Curry suffered a sprained ankle against Chicago and didn't play last night or the other game against San Antonio. Reevaluation is that he's making good progress. He's resuming on-court workouts in the Bay Area right now. He's not with the team. And he's going to join the team in L.A. for practice on Friday, and they'll do another reevaluation after that. So that's really, really good news.
And if I'm reading between the lines there, then for sure he's not going to play against Dallas, but there's a shot that he might play against the Lakers.
Yeah. I don't think there's any chance of him playing. Well, you know what? Just for his own, for – you know, for Steph's sake, you want to see him get back out there. This is what he does, you know, and this is his job and he loves it. It's his passion. And so to see him come back out, because he's a guy, you know, you want everybody to be healthy when you play, but especially a guy like Steph who plays the game the right way. You know, he's not out there. He's not out there flopping. He's not doing, you know, there's no head bobs when somebody bangs into him. He's just playing the game the right way.
Okay. Perfect transition, but I appreciate that Curry update because I've been holding my breath a little bit. And with the schedule, the way it is, I mean, these next few games, they're playing the teams immediately ahead of them. And so that LA game is going to be important. And so if we can welcome Steph back in, that's a much different experience, you know, than watching the team without him. But like I said, so good transition, and it's to this new segment I'm calling Masterclass, and it's literally developed for you, Tim. And here's the idea.
Uh-oh.
Malcolm Gladwell has this rule called the 10,000 hour rule. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't read the book, but I have a sense of what the rule is. And it's that if you spend 10,000 hours doing anything, whatever that one thing is, after those 10,000 hours, you are a master in that thing. It's just a matter of repetitions. You put in that amount of time, you know about that thing. All right. And from what I can tell, you have spent more than 28 years announcing the NBA, or put differently, more than 244,000 hours watching, analyzing, breaking down, understanding professional basketball. Tim, you are a master in NBA basketball and all facets of it. We're talking development. You know, you've watched both players and teams be developed. We're talking players, those kind of things. So I want you to dip in to that experience. Yeah. Here's the first, because we were just talking about Curry.
Okay.
You've watched superstars through multiple eras, man. I mean, you've watched, you know, the big names, Jordan, Kobe, Dirk, Luka, Wemby now. You've watched special players through three plus decades. What is it that sets Steph apart?
What Steph is unique at is that he is probably the most unassuming superstar I've ever met. And, you know, why is that important? It's important because he makes everybody in that team feel that they have value, because he's not walking or strutting around saying, hey, you know, go give me a Coke, you know, that kind of thing. He is a guy that is welcoming. He's very unselfish. Kevin Durant comes to town. What does Steph do? He defers to KD. He doesn't say, well, it's my team, you got to ride along. No, he, you know, Kevin knew it was Steph's team. But Steph went out of his way to make sure Kevin was comfortable when he got to the Warriors. You know, and he just is just gracious and unselfish to everyone that he encounters. And that makes him unique and different. I mean, because you know that everybody wants a piece of his time. Yeah. And the other part that makes him unique is he is the combination of the best shooter ever to play, along with a guy that has not rested, as all the great ones do. They don't rest on how good they are. You know, what's different about Steph now? He can finish better than ever before. He takes more contact than ever before. He's stronger now than he was, say, maybe 7 years ago when he was in his prime. And he keeps himself in tremendous shape. So you put all that together, and that's what separates him, is his competitive fire that doesn't allow him to rest on his laurels, and combined with the unselfishness that makes everybody around him feel wanted and accepted. That makes for a very good work environment, and that makes players want to play well for him. And you know, when a player hits a bucket for the Warriors, into the bench guy, and he looks back at the Warrior bench, and there's Steph Curry leading the cheers, that means something. There's value in that. And so that's something that you don't see all the time. And I think it's something unique that he kind of brought to the table.
I love that answer. And I mean, even just you describing him standing up and clapping, it's both that of course he's leading the cheers, and that it feels just so genuine. You know, that's not someone who is like making a robotic analysis of what leadership is. And okay, I got to cheer because these guys are watching me, and you know, let's make sure I'm. That's someone who is genuinely feeling joy for his teammates, and then just expressing that joy, even though he is one of the most important person or people in the league, you know, and maybe in league history. Maxime, I'm already super fired up for this masterclass section, dude. It's already, it's going well.
Oh yeah.
Tim, here's my next. All right. So you have also watched the players the Warriors attempt to develop a lot of young guys over the years. And they've been both successful and unsuccessful. You know, for every Clay, Draymond, and Curry they've put together, there's a Patrick Baldwin and a Jordan Bell and a James Wiseman. You know, not all these guys work out. When you look at JK and where he is on his development, do you believe in his future? And, you know, where do you think, what's the possible ceiling on this guy's game?
You know, it's hard to really give him a ceiling right now because, well, first of all, he's one of the best athletes to come through here in a long time. And excuse me, he has quickness and quick leaping ability and second leaping ability, which is important. That's something that has value. It has a lot of value, and he gives him a different type player. You know, you have two of the best shooters ever to play, and now you got this guy who attacks the rim. When he attacks the rim, the Warriors are better. I don't know exactly where his ceiling is, but I will say this. I still think he can be a lot better, okay? Yeah. You know, the other night against San Antonio in Texas, he started the game, was a little anxious, I think. He wanted to kind of go after, you know, Victor Wembanyama's there, and I think as a young player, he got a little fired up, and maybe his shot selection wasn't great in the first quarter on a couple of possessions, but he settled down. Now, last year, the year before, maybe he wouldn't have settled down and maybe end up with a 5-for-18 night or something like that. But he settled down, got his game going, played inside the offense, you know, knew when to challenge, when not to challenge. Still had a couple of shots blocked, but I have no problem with that. And so I see that development. That's what I'm looking for development. We know he can jump. We know he can score. It's the extra pass, the sound rotation, being in the right spot defensively for help, all those little things that he is learning on the job. And again, we have to remind ourselves that he didn't play a lot of basketball. You know, when the Warriors got him, he's very raw. So this is year three, and it's starting to click for him. It's starting to slow down. He sees the floor so much better than what he used to be. And, you know, you can see him. He can read a play now and know what the defense more than likely will do when he has the ball. And I think that's a huge advantage. So it's hard for me to put a real ceiling on him, because I think the things he doesn't do as good as, you know, leaping and scoring and all that, those things can get a lot better. So it's really intriguing to me to watch him grow. I think he's got a chance to be a great player in this league. But I think it's those little details that will come with experience for him that are going to make the difference between, you know, just being a great scorer and an athlete to being a great player and a player that makes everybody around him, you know, better, like all the great superstars do.
I love the focus on the mental adjustments. There was a play last night that I thought randomly showed his maturity. So there's like maybe 3-4 minutes left, maybe a little bit more. JK decides to challenge Wembanyama, and Wembanyama not only blocks it, but blocks it pretty hard. You know, he doesn't leave his hand, and it goes the other direction. And then JK finds himself matched up against Wembanyama. It's the next play. And it would have been really easy for him to be demoralized. You know, he can see he leans on his athleticism, and to be blocked by Wembanyama, it could be the kind of thing that would impact your play. And instead, he actually played really good defense, and the Warriors got the stop. And it's the kind of, he's getting it. He locks in, you know, there's still lapses, but you can
he's like, before, if that shot was blocked, he may have been arguing with the referee while the ball's going up the floor.
That's exactly right.
You know,
right.
2 years ago, then, but now, you know, he says, okay, I'm just going to go back. I'll yell at the referee later or whatever. And so he's seeing that value that I have to get back and do this first. And then maybe later I can talk to the referee about something that's going on. So, you know, when you do that and, you know, just little things like making sure you hustle back on defense, even if you're not guarding the guy you're supposed to be guarding, just to get back and get the defense set. Those are the little things that, you know, you look at with a young player, and so they don't allow a mistake on one end to bother them at the other. And it's not just young players. All players, you know, do that. And it's a human nature thing. You know, maybe you make a mistake on defense and you're hanging your head a little bit on offense. And the same, you know, you miss a shot on offense, you come back and you're not as focused on defense. It's being able to fight through that is the determining factor, I think, from, you know, good to great.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too?
That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Another admission for you. I've been listening to your voice on loop this morning because I can't get enough of your play-by-play with TJD's dunk on Wembanyama. In fact, I think we got it here. Go ahead and play it, Maxine.
Some fans have decided to go out. Jackson Davis goes up, and he slammed it down over Wembanyama down the lane with the hammer.
I was speechless.
Yeah, it's the best call you've had all year. That's exactly right. Well, I'm sure you remember it. You know, as that play goes down, what was the reaction in the arena? I mean, I'm watching, but I'm not there. You know, what's Spurs fans' reaction to their hero wearing a shot like a hat?
Well, you know, they were at that point of the game, they were already starting to leave. Okay.
So, which actually, and you start definite, to say in your call, you say that in your call, yeah. People are starting, and then, then off you go.
Yeah. And that's what I saw. I saw people starting to stream for the exit, and all of a sudden, wham, there it is. It's like, I think there was like a little, like that little thing, and it happens when Steph hits a deep three. Oh, you hear that, ooh, type thing. And that goes through the arena. And then all you heard were the Warrior fans who were there and the Warrior bench going crazy. And there were actually for San Antonio, that's about as many Warrior fans we've seen in a while down there. There was a lot of blue and gold throughout the building last night. It was really cool.
That dunk meant so much to me. And it kind of put into context what we were just talking about, because Kuminga had just been blocked by him. And watching, I've only watched a few games with Wembanyama. But just based on those games, even the preseason game when he blocked like 1,000 of Wiggins' shots, his presence makes me nervous, you know, just as a fan. And so having Trace kind of open that up, you know, like, no, like we have our own guy. He isn't invincible. It's like watching Drago bleed in Rocky IV. It's like, you know, he can be cut. It was a really important moment. And this part I'm reading into, I do not know Steve Kerr, who knows? But it felt like that win meant a lot, because I know he has that relationship with Popovich, and I know they got their ass kicked by San Antonio when they came into town, and there's no way that Kerr wants to wear back-to-back losses to his good friend. You know, I'm sure they went out to dinner and had a glass of wine, and so that they were able to pull that out last night, I thought was really important, and to have the exclamation point, you know, is even a bigger benefit. But let me give you another one of these questions, man.
Okay.
So you've seen a number of enforcers over the years, Anthony Mason, Charles Oakley, Marcin Gortat. I mean, you've seen these guys. How has Draymond Green differentiated himself from just the traditional bruiser?
Marcin Gortat, the Polish hammer. Draymond is different because even though he's physical, it doesn't. That's, you know, he can be fit. You can be physical in the league and be a, you know, a good defender. Draymond's an elite defender. He's a once in a generation defender, because as, you know, talking about Kuminga seeing the floor, Draymond saw the floor coming out of the womb. Okay. He understands angles. He understands plays, and he has an IQ basketball wise that is off the charts. If there's a, you know, a Mensa section for NBA players, he's in it, and he just understands how teams want to play and how players want to play. You know, he looks at film, picks up a guy's, you know, his mannerisms and his, you know, his moves, and Draymond just, and he combines that with this incredible will to win, just an amazing, you know, dominating force that he has to win. And, you know, I'll talk to fans and even other announcers around the league, and they say, well, how can you put up watching Draymond all the time? I said, watching Draymond all the time? I love watching Draymond all the time. I said, he is a pass ahead of everyone else on the floor. And he just understands, you know, how to play basketball. And, you know, there's no doubt that when he came back, the Warrior defense got better, their offense got better, because he's running the show and he's out there, and he has sacrificed his body his entire career playing bigger people. He's doing it again now. And the other part is that Draymond's just, you know, you just got that. He's got that little irritating thing that drives other players crazy sometimes where he may, you know, you may try to make a move on him and he swats it out of bounds and Draymond lets you know about it. You know, like, oh, no, you're not going to make that move, you know, that kind of thing. He's just got a little irritating sense to him, and it drives other players, and it gets other players out of their game. You know, they're not as good when Draymond's out there being a pest. And so, you know, I think he's a basketball genius, and I think, you know, I think he's, when he's crossed the line, I think that you know, he's kind of, I think it reflects his mental state of the moment. And, you know, I've never talked to him about this, but, you know, obviously there was something, you know, he wasn't right at the start of this year, and he's got himself right now. And it's great to see, because I enjoy him both on and off the floor. He is a delightful man and a very smart man. And I think that, you know, when he's going to be, you know, a lot of times we put people in the Hall of Fame because they score a lot of points, but they don't win. Draymond's the definition of winning, and he's going to go in the Hall of Fame because he's a winner and he can dominate the game without scoring a point.
Put that answer in the Louvre. Draymond has made such a difference for this team, but the only follow-up I'll add, and it's a weird analogy, but I'll make it. In football, we see how much home court advantage means. If you're Pittsburgh, you want your playoff game to be at home because they'll play in the snow, and maybe the team who you're playing isn't good playing in the snow. Draymond creates his own advantage via conflict. It's what you were saying. He brings, you know, he's some needling little thing with the opposing team. He brings conflict to the floor. And while other players are distracted by it, he is buoyed by it. You know, he is in there playing much better while everyone else is distracted by his antics. And that's just one of a million things that he has brought. But I love that your answer back to those people who don't know what the hell Draymond actually brings here is, how do I stand it? What do you mean? I'm watching basketball history. You know, this guy is a savant.
I mean, you know, just the amount of, you know, details and plays that he makes, and just, you know, he'll do anything to win. You know, it had to hurt him in 2022 when Steve Kerr put Looney down the stretch in a finals game, you know, and instead of Draymond, you know, that had to hurt him, had to drive him crazy. Right. But once he saw that the team was playing great and Looney was doing a great job, you know, he's on board because all he wants is to win. You know, he's not into it for, you know, to lead the team in scoring or assist or whatever. He just wants to win. And again, he's just an incredibly smart guy. And when you look at him on the floor, you see a guy that's ready. You know, and let's face it, you know, all three of the big three are getting older, and there's going to be nights they're going to hit the accelerator and the gas tank's going to read E. That's because of all the thousands and thousands of minutes they've played. And, you know, the only one who's undefeated in all of professional sports history is Father Time, you know. And so, you know, there are going to be nights where Draymond's not going to look like the Draymond of old, but, you know that his mind is there and that he's going to be, you know, doing whatever he can to impact the game.
He is everything we didn't have under Cohen. You know, he's like who Danny Fortson wasn't. You know, these guys who came out and gave us stats but didn't actually give us wins.
Exactly. You know, we saw a whole bunch of players during that era who would come in and they would, you know, average a double-double or something, and you would go, okay, but we won 20 games, whatever it was, you know. And there were a couple guys I thought we had that if you had different players around them, like Antoine Jameson, yeah, you know, I mean, sure. the you know, just because they traded, that made the trade to save money to, you know, with Carter and the whole bit to save a few thousand, whatever it was. I just think that if he had been on a team that had a number one guy, right, and he was not the number one guy, he would have been outstanding. I mean, let's face it, he had a great career. I mean, he won what, most improved and sixth man of the year back to back seasons later on in his career. And just he was just in the wrong spot, the wrong time. That happens sometimes. Guys get drafted in the lottery and they go to teams that aren't ready, and they get kind of jaded a little bit. And we've seen with a whole bunch of players where all of a sudden they think, okay, I got to get my 20 because that's what I'm supposed to do on this team. And they end up, you know, not getting out of that cycle later in their career. But for Antoine, he really did a nice job of staying the course and had a great career. And I always thought that if the Warriors had a number one player, a legit number one guy on the roster at that time, that he would have been a great either number two or number three, because you never had to run a play for him. You know, he could just get the ball and score around the basket. And he was a good enough guy to where, you know, he would do what you would ask him to do. And so it just wasn't the right time for him. And I feel bad for that, but he ended up having a great career anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they built Warriors East in Washington. You know, he and Gilbert actually ended up having a couple of wins anyways. But he went toe-to-toe with Kobe, Tim. You know, he definitely.
Yeah, well, that was, right? Those you know, we didn't have too many great memories back then. No. But that night was one of them, the night in Seattle, back-to-back 50-point games.
Right.
And you can't sneeze at that. Now, everybody's scoring 50 now, right? There's a whole bunch of guys who have scored 50 now. But back then, that was like scoring 70 now. You know, yeah. I mean, those were huge nights. I mean,
it feels like there's inflation in the NBA now. You know, I mean, the 50 is. Now is worth like 35 back then. All right, quick hints.
No lead is safe.
That's unfortunately true, especially when it comes to the Warriors. But that's a question for a different time. Quick hits, because I've already kept you longer than promised. Real fast. Who is the least talented player who you enjoyed watching?
The least talented player I enjoyed watching as a Warrior.
Anybody, you can give me to give you time to think, because I'm surprising you with these. I'm limited to Warriors guys. My guy was Brian Cardinal or Kevin Willis. Kevin Willis was talented, but by the time he got to us, you know, not so much. But they had so much heart. You know, I enjoyed watching these guys.
Exactly. Yeah, Brian Cardinal was fun to watch. You know, and he was talented. He just wasn't an NBA, you know, star. But Eric Musselman saw him and saw the impact he could do because again, he went out and did all the dirty work, set screens, dive for loose balls, battle for rebounds, play defense. He had an impact on that team. You know, they won 38 games. And then, you know, Eric Musselman playing him and playing Earl Boykins got both of those guys paid. They got money elsewhere from other teams because he said, I don't care if they don't fit the one thing Musk did really well is he didn't care if a guy fit the stereotype or not. If he could help him win a game, he's going to play him. And he played Boykins as a closer. Brian Cardinal, those two guys were fun to watch. Yeah. Brian was great. I think Brian's a guy that if he had ended up on a great team, then he'd be known like as I don't want to say Kurt Rambis, but he'd be known as that guy on a good team.
I like that.
Come off the bench.
Well, and like a historic guy for that fan base, you know, like people, they just loved watching him and he really contributed to that title. And like, they might not know, other fans might not know, but
If he was on a team that was even, back in the day, if he was on a team where the fan base for the Warriors at that point is pretty jaded, you know, because we had been bad for so long, you know, if he'd come along earlier, who knows? He might have had a Larry Smith type of following, with guys wearing hard hats and the baseline
stuff. And doing the peewee dance in the second dance or the second level. All right, other side of that coin. Most talented player you did not enjoy watching.
Wow. There's one playing now, but I won't mention his name. let's see. Most talented player I didn't enjoy watch.
And if you want some cover,
that's a tough one.
I can give you one if you don't want to.
Okay, go ahead and give me one. I'll get my brain working. Go ahead.
There you go. James Harden. love him.
James Harden,
love,
yeah,
love his
yeah.
talent, but I just don't like watching his game. I mean, it's better now. You know, now that he's a distributor and what's happening in Clippers is different. But when he was, you know, in Houston and he's drawing all those fouls and he's ruining the watching experience, I understood how good he was, but I, you know, I just didn't like it. It's not my cup of tea.
I would not have wanted to watch that 82 times a year, put that way. That would have been not my first choice. Yeah, he was one, and you know, there have been other guys, you know, throughout time. I'm sure if I really researched it and went back, there'd be a couple of guys I could give you. But you know, the guys I don't like watching are guys who don't play for the team, guys who just want to chuck the, you know, shot up, sure. or yeah. guys that waste talent. You know, guys that don't take it seriously, and they don't realize the special privilege that they have of playing in the NBA. You know, that there's a whole bunch of guys who never make the league, who would do anything to play in the NBA. And here's a guy who is not, you know, who's super talented, but maybe he's mad that he's not playing enough, or he's not getting enough shots, or he's just, I don't care, I don't really want to win, you know. And we've seen a whole bunch of those guys over the years, and those are the ones that drive me crazy, because, you know, like we all, you know, I don't know about you guys, but because you guys are much younger than I am, but we, you know, in my day, you went out in the driveway and you would count down to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you're hitting the game winning shot, you know, and that kind of thing. And you all, you know, like, you thought about, you know, maybe someday I'll have a growth spurt. No, it never happened. And there are a whole bunch of dreams that kids have to play in the best league in the world. And for guys not to take advantage of it or care about it or take it, you know, even reasonably seriously, is that's beyond me. I don't get that. I don't get that kind of attitude. And we've seen, we could write a whole book on guys who went through the league who didn't take advantage of it. And that to me is it's not a crime, but it's sort of a sports crime.
Oh, it's not recognizing how damn lucky, how many people are on Earth compared to how many spots there are in the NBA? We're talking about the top 0.00001%, you know?
I'll give you an example. There's a guy, he retired years ago, was a guard name. I think his name is Ronnie Price, came out of Utah Valley State. Okay. Yeah. Unheralded, undrafted, fought his way onto a roster, I think after playing a couple of years and maybe in Europe in the minor leagues, and had played over a decade in the league. And because why? He worked hard. He had a great attitude, and he was there every day in practice pushing the starters. And when you got him in the game, you knew he was going to give you what he had. Right. And I would, if I was a general manager or coach in the league, I would show that guy's resume every year to young players, maybe not your first round draft pick, but the guys who are coming in camp. I would say, here's the guy you should emulate, that guy. You know, show up on time, do your job, get your work done early, and just really, you know, appreciate where you are. And he turned it into a career. I mean, and there was you could probably name 100 guards that came into camp, you know, in the first 5 years of his NBA career that maybe talent wise might have beat him one-on-one, but sure, because they didn't have the mental part of it, they didn't understand, you know, were never got to the league. And so those are the guys that I really appreciate, because they understand the big picture of it, and they value the chance that they have been given.
Tim, let me end this the way I've ended all of it. Specifically today, thank you. I mean, you're always awesome, and this was a ton of fun. I learned a lot, but I want to expand that, man. So I listen to a lot of games on the radio, and I am not alone. And because of that, you are literally where the rubber meets the road between the fan base and this dynastic team. You know, you don't know it, but you have been in all of our lives so many times, in so many weird moments, so many times I was in traffic, so many times I was driving someplace, so many times I was experiencing a memory that was going to resonate with me for the remainder of my life. So Tim, thank you, man. The job you have done over these decades has been a seminal portion of my sports life, and we appreciate you, and it would be crazy if I let this opportunity go without at least vocalizing it.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know, the thing I've always maintained, and I really, really do mean this, is it's an absolute honor to announce for this fan base, because, you know, back at Oracle, we're talking about some of the old days where it wasn't great, you know, but there's always, you know, 15,000 or so out there watching those games. The atmosphere was always good. You know, even when the Warriors weren't great, they were passionate about the team. They wanted the team to win. And so to have the chance to chronicle all of that, the good and the bad, just been a joy. And, you know, when I started this, I wanted to be a play-by-play sports announcer. It's all I've ever wanted to be. I'm lucky to do it, and to get a job like this and to do it for, I'm in my 29th season with the Warriors. It's just amazing. I'm a very, very lucky guy.
Mutual Admiration Society. We're the ones that's lucky. Go Warriors! Hopefully,
we'll see. All right, man.
Good.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.